Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll call up a testimony. Amen. We'll call up my cousin who can testify. Amen.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was in the hospital. Amen. He wants us to share. Amen. And just testify. Amen. Praise the Lord.
How's everybody doing? That's good. It's like, you know, I was in the hospital. First, like, thank God for my salvation. You know, ever since I walked through the doors 2 years ago, I didn't know how my life was going to change. It was just 360. And as hard as I thought, I'm a gangster, I'm a drug dealer, I ain't going to change. Pastor always said, you know, first you're going to start praising, you're going to fight the praise. And I did. I would just stand over there up on my cell, just looking at everybody. Slowly, I started coming to the altar.
Come on.
I started just praising.
Come on.
I'm doing altar calls.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I ended up in a hospital about 2 weeks ago. I was just gushing out blood. Like, you know, we're real, BBO. We're real. I was coming out like I was diarrhea, just blood coming out of everywhere. Just, I lost half of my blood supply. And I had 3 blood transfusions.
Wow.
And I wake up at 2-3 in the morning. I try not to cry because I was losing hope. I was, Lord, what's going on? What's happening? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And then I would even ask Pastor, what did I do? Pastor would be like, do nothing. I can hear the devil in my ear. This is the God you serve. This is what's happening to you. Look around. This is the God I serve. This is Him. No matter what happens, what's going to happen, I'm still going to serve. I'm going down serving. I'm going down victory outreach style. I ain't going down like that. Wake up at night crying. I try to be quiet, but my wife was asleep. She was sleeping on the sofa. And she'll be like, what's wrong? And I'll start praying. She'll start praying with me. I got better. You know, the doctor said, you're getting good. They did 2 colonoscopies. First one, they said, I stopped bleeding. I said, all right. Yeah, I was happy. That night, came out again. They said, you stopped bleeding. We couldn't find the source. I said, well, second time I went, they were like, all right. So I started bleeding again that night. Here they come with the bags. And being in the hospital, you know, they just keep pricking you. It's like every time I saw the nurse, I was like, oh, here she comes again. Oh, how many? It got so bad that they couldn't even find my, they took out my IV, so at one point they couldn't find my vein somewhere. They were going to bring out the tech. So second time I started bleeding, they told me, hey, we can get you down there right now, and we're going to find the source. Signed this paperwork. I couldn't, while I was signing up. And every time I went down, before I did the colonoscopy, you know, I would say, whoa, stop. Let me pray.
Amen.
I would pray for everybody there. And I could hear my wife, pray for yourself too. And, the second time they found it, they got to stop the bleeding.
Amen.
That Saturday I was going home, I was happy. I was like, man, I'm going home. I wasn't so happy. Felt like I was tested again. I started bleeding again. I lost it. I didn't know what to do. I was crying. I was like, I went to the lobby by myself. They told me to go walk. And I just lost it. I lost it completely. I called Pastor, and I believe he was with Joe. I said, I'm tired, Pastor. I'm bleeding. It came from, I was pale. What do I do? Immediately, Pastor, let's pray. And we started praying. And he was just praying. I was praying. He was praying with me, and he was praying. I felt chills coming up my leg.
Come on.
And at this point, the doctors have said, They already had taken my IVs because I was supposed to be gone leaving already. They wanted to put more IVs in me. They wanted, I was like, how are you going to put more IVs? I'm hurting already. I was fighting them. I poured my heart out to the Lord. I was like a little kid just crying to him. Lord, please. I feel like he was testing me again. How bad did you want? You know, I got up. I went to my room. My wife said, they don't have to put IVs in you no more. You're bleeding, but they think it's all right. You know, they're just normal. I was like, wow. Doctor came in and said, we're just going to keep you overnight. It's probably just something normal. Don't worry about it. All that night, I was just waiting for the blood to come. I just sat there, just looking around, praying. I didn't want to cry too loud either because my wife was asleep. I didn't want to wake up, but I failed every time because she got up with me crying. And I would just tell my wife, just take him slowly, but I'm not going out like this. I'm going out Victory Rocky style. That's what I'm going to do. This is Pastor talking. It was my cousin talking. We did together, did everything. Now we're here standing. Come on. We're here together. We're serving that way. Well, now we're serving the Lord. The next day, doctor comes in, both the doctors, my regular doctor and the GI, the specialist. Hey, you can go home.
Come on.
Oh, I was so happy. I was the happiest man. I've never been so happy. And as I was leaving, I was just thanking him so much. Thank you, Jesus. Something just stopped me and said, hey, you got to go see Brother Joel, because Joel was upstairs. He just thought he had a heart attack. So I went to go see him. But I feel like I was tested. Like my heart was just... Yeah. All that blood I was losing just... That's never happened to me in my life. Doctors put me on a strict diet. I'm following it to the T to this day. I don't, you know. I didn't let the devil win. He was always in my ear. Telling me, is this the God you serve? Yeah, this is the God I serve. This is Him.
Amen.
I'm serving Him to the day I go.
Come on, amen.
Along with my cousin.
Come on.
Because if it was my cousin, him being saved, and me looking from far away and watching him, and I would laugh at him because I'd be like, man, I knew that guy. Me and him always bring out scales, and we start dope dealing, and now, whatever. Now I look at him like, wow, I'm watching him far away. And I'm like, if God can transform me, He can transform you too. And here I am. I want to thank you, Pastor. My primo. And I'm honored to say that you're my pastor. And I love you, man. I'd like to present something to you, man, that I had something made for you.
Oh, come on.
So Tabitha says, Pastor Francisco. These hands unify us, you know, like we're serving the Lord together.
Amen.
And I'm going to go. Spiritual guidance. I need someone coming to my pastor. Pastor Francisco, man. There you go. Thank God, Victory Outreach. And y'all, church, you know, being in a godly environment, help me change.
Amen.
You know, my friends, I have a lot of friends that never believe me. But being in a godly environment, it just helped me change and helped me just do a 360, you know.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, pastor wasn't available.
Yeah.
Pastor Josh.
Come on.
Yeah. What are we now? Somebody's going to answer me here. But thank y'all. Thank y'all too.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord some praise. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What a powerful testimony. Amen. What a powerful testimony. Amen. How many know, you know, Jesus, sometimes Jesus is like insurance. Amen. You know, when you first, you know, especially when you've been serving God for a while. You know, my cousin said he's been coming for 2 years, you know. And when you're serving God, you know, after a while, especially for the long haul, you know, of course, at the beginning, you know, you're excited about being saved. You know, you're honeymooning with Christ, amen. And everything is joy. Everything is wow. Everything is powerful. God is doing miracles in your life, giving you breakthroughs, amen. But then, you know, sometimes once you're saved for a while, amen, we can take that for granted.
Right.
We can take that for granted. We can take our Savior for granted. We can take God for granted. Amen. And it's like insurance too. Amen. You know, especially for us. Amen. That used to drive without insurance. Come on now. Amen. Then we got it. We're like, yeah, we're legal. Right? Amen. We're like all jumping around and thank God we got insurance. But then after a while, you're paying for it and you're like, you know, I don't even use this thing, but I'm paying for it. But when you need it, oh, come on, somebody. I said, when you need it, when you get into an accident, you're glad you have it. It's the same thing with Christ, amen, as we serve God for the long haul, amen, because sometimes it happens, amen, you forget all his benefits, amen, because he's been so good to you, amen, you're covered. You're covered, amen, so he doesn't need to baby you, amen. But when you get into an accident, when you get into an emergency like my cousin did, you're glad you have Jesus in your corner. Come on, somebody. You're in better hands than all states. Amen. And, you know, so what a powerful testimony. Amen. And we were praying for him. The whole church was praying for you, cousin. We're so grateful. Amen. That God, amen, healed you. Amen. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Continue to serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a powerful testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, amen, we're going to get into God's Word. Amen. I want you to grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14. And as you get there, amen, I want you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Luke, chapter 14. It's after the book of Mark, before the book of John. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. I don't know if they got my title, but if they can, put it up there. Amen, that'd be good. I titled this message, RSVP. RSVP. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Thank you, worship team. Amen. We're going to read God's word. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Through 24. It says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.
Come on, man.
Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind.
Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Tell your neighbor, there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquets. RSVP. Let us pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would use me this evening, God, to minister, Lord, and to build up the church, to provoke the church, to compel the church to do the work of an evangelist. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All of us have probably received an invite with these letters on it. RSVP. Wave at me if you ever got an invitation with RSVP. In today's day, it means to reserve your spots. But this phrase here, this phrase RSVP, came from or is derived from the French phrase. The French phrase, they could put that phrase up there. Répondez s'il vous plaît.
Come on now.
Oui, oui. Yeah. In French. And all this simply means is please respond.
Wow. Good.
Jesus tells this story for a reason. And the reason is that this is how many respond to his great salvation. That will be celebrated with a great banquet.
Come on now.
In Revelations 19:9, it says, and the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, many ignore the invitation and they don't RSVP or they don't respond. I RSVP'd 19 years ago and I'm going to the party. I'm going to the party. But the question is, are you? Ask your neighbor, are you? Are you going to the party? Are you going to this great banquet? Because it's going to happen. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. But too many do what those in this story do. They make up lame excuses. We see the excuses in verse 18, verse 19, and verses 20. The first excuse in verse 18, it says, this guy said, I just bought a field, and I must go and see it. What a lame excuse. I just bought a field and I must go and see. You mean you bought it without looking at it?
Right.
And then now you want to look at it at night. Are you hearing me? Huh? What a lame excuse. How can you see it at night? Then the next excuse in verse 19, it says, another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Wow. Again, you bought them without trying them out. And then you're going to test them at night? Are you hearing me? Huh? I've heard a lot of excuses. Come on, somebody. We've all heard the story about excuses, right? We all have two of them. And they're both like armpits and they both stink. Then in verse 20, the third excuse, the man says, I just got married. This banquet is a perfect date to take your new wife to and show her off. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but any new husband wants to show off his new wife. He wants to go and show, look, this is my new rib. But he had a lame excuse. What are some excuses people use today for not coming to church, for not coming to Jesus, not coming to celebrate Jesus in church? One is, they say, I don't have time. Huh? But we got time for everything else. How many know we make time for what's important to us? We make that time for what's important to us. The second excuse of today is that people say, I don't have a ride. It's all right. Call us. We got a ministry called Soul Lift. Come on, somebody. Uber a soul. Huh? Listen, you know, I don't care. I don't care if Grand Perry don't have the dart. Come on, somebody. Huh? We got Soul Lift. Come on, in Victory Outreach. We'll pick you up, whether you're from East Dallas, Oak Cliff, Fort Worth, GP, Arlington. We will pick up a soul.
Right.
You know, what do you mean you don't have a ride? Do you have a ride for everything else?
Oh.
You got a ride. You rode the bike to the crack house. You were riding the bike, you know, right there through the drive-thru, the little drive-thru alcohol beer store? Yeah, come on, somebody. Where the girls dress half-dressed? Oh, come on now. You drive your bike through there. Huh? A third excuse people use today is they say, the church is full of hypocrites. I tell them, well, come show us how it's done.
Right.
Come show us how it's done. You said, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, why don't you get saved and serve God and show us how it's supposed to be done? I guarantee you sooner or later, we're going to find some hypocrisy.
Come on.
Huh? People go to the gym to lose weight. People go to the hospital because they're sick. And sinners come to church to become saints. Come on, somebody. These are all just lame excuses that people use. And this is the famous one. I don't go to church because all the church wants is my money. Huh? Come on, somebody. For those that we reach, huh? For many that we reach as Victory Outreach, I just tell you, what money? You don't got none. Come on now. I came to God with nothing. I came to Victory Outreach with nothing. I came shut out of prison. I didn't have nothing. Come on, some week we came with nothing. What do you mean all the church wants some money? You ain't got no money. You smoked it all. Come on, somebody. See, but people don't say that when they go to Walmart. All Walmart. They don't say what all Walmart really wants is my money. Come on, somebody. People don't say that about Trader's Village. About the AMC. They don't say that about Walmart and all that, but you still go. But guess what? That's all they want. That's all Walmart wants. That's all Trader's Village wants. That's all these places. That's all they want. That's all the dope man went. Wanted. But you still went. We want to make all the church wants is my money. Huh? No, that's not all the church wants. We want your time. We want your talents. We want your blood, sweat, and tears. God wants it all. I knew I wasn't going to get away with me. It's all right. Huh? We come on, it's all right, because listen, we're looking for some Christians that are down for whatever. We're looking for some people that ain't gonna be faking and shaking with God, but you're willing to lay it all down for Jesus Christ. We're looking for some soldiers. God is looking for some warriors that say, I'm willing to give it all. I'm willing to give not just my finances, but I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to lay it down for the cause of winning the lost at any cost. I've laid my life down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will continue to lay it down. Notice that the attitude of the master in verse 21. When his servants gave him the bad news of all the excuses people made, it said he was angry. He was angry. Listen, Jesus gets angry when people reject his invitation to his great salvation. Huh? Oh, but how can you say that, Pastor? Not my Jesus, not my Chewy. My Jesus don't get mad. Huh? Remember the temple when he made a whip? Come on, somebody. Huh? He had a holy indignation. And Jesus gets mad when people reject such a great salvation, such a great invitation to salvation. And rightly so, for it is the greatest insult.
Amen.
Us who are sinful and nasty and dirty from the corruption of this world to stick our nose up to the pureness and imminence of Christ. And disdain his gracious invitation to the best place to be. Wow. I would be angry too. And I would say, forget y'all too. Huh? It is the greatest insult. For just for people like us to stick up our nose to God. Thank God that we've accepted Christ. Thank God that we've accepted the invitation. Huh? But there's probably some here that still have not accepted that invitation. And it's your day to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and accept this invitation to accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're running from God, take the running shoes off and put the combat shoes on and start serving Jesus with all your heart. If you're thinking about running, don't go nowhere. Why? Because this is the greatest place to be in the will of God. It is the greatest thing to do, to serve God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength.
Amen.
Now notice what the master does. He doesn't seek revenge. He doesn't throw a pity party. But he jumps into action. He simply invites others. Remember, this is a great banquet that has cost lots of money.
Right.
And it has nothing but the best. He has the best food, the best hall, the best furniture, the best lighting. Everything is top-notch in this banquet. Those invited at first were probably the upper class, the privileged group of people, like the Israelites. The Jews, God's chosen people.
Amen.
But the Jews rejected Christ. So God, through the Apostle Paul and others, went to the Gentiles. In other words, the outcasts. The master sent his servants to go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, he said. Bring in the crippled, bring in the blind, and bring in the lame. This is a good place for you to get excited, because that's you and I. That describes victory outreach. That describes the treasures out of darkness. That describes the meth head. That describes the alcoholic. That describes the suicidal. That describes the depressed. That describes the down church, we're those servants. We're those servants that the master has said to go out quickly. Take number quickly. To go to the streets. And to go to the alleys.
Yes.
But there's a problem when the servant don't want to serve. We can't be lazy servants. We can't be lazy servants. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 through 38. The word of God says in the scripture, Matthew chapter 9, can we put it up there? Verse 35 through 38. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I don't know if we got it. I guess we don't have it. But it's a portion of scripture where God says, pray ye, Lord. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest. That he will send forth laborers. That he will send forth laborers. That he will send forth workers. Into his harvest fields. Because it takes work. It takes work. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. Paul tells Timothy, but you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. And do the work. Do the work of an evangelist. It takes work. Tell your neighbor, it takes work. It takes work. You don't have to be an evangelist to do the work of an evangelist. Timothy was a pastor, but he did a work of an evangelist. You don't have to be an evangelist to do the work of an evangelist, but you do got to work to do the work of an evangelist.
Come on now.
Good. And we are the servants.
Right.
We are his servants. Amen. We are the servants that the master has sent out to go into the alleys and to go into the streets and to do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
He sent his servants to the streets and to the alleys. This is VO all the way.
Amen.
But it shouldn't just be VO. It should be every church.
Right.
And this should be every Christian.
Right.
It should not just be the leaders. It should not just be the rehab. But it should be every Christian that does the work of an evangelist. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Timothy wasn't either. And you can still do the work of an evangelist. But it takes work. But this is why many don't do it. Because it's a four-letter word. But it's all right, my friend. Because I believe once the fire of God touches your soul, you'll do the work of an evangelist. If you would get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll do the work of an evangelist.
Bring it.
It says, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. See, we want those that others don't want. We want those that have nothing to offer. We will take. I didn't have nothing to offer when I got saved. I had nothing to offer but a prison sentence. I had nothing to offer God but a broken heart. I had nothing to offer God, but he took me anyways. I said he took me anyways. I had nothing to offer the ministry. I had nothing to offer the home. I had nothing to offer Victory Outreach when I came knocking on the door of the men's home. I had nothing to offer, but they took me anyways. They opened up the door anyways. They loved me anyways. They gave me an opportunity anyways. Notice that it says, bring in the poor. Bring in. Tell your neighbor, bring in.
Bring in.
We must bring people to church.
Right.
Tell your neighbor, we must bring people to church. We must bring people to church. We must bring people, get this, to the altar.
Amen.
We got to bring people to the altar.
Amen.
We must bring people to Christ.
Amen.
We must bring people to the drama and to the rallies and et cetera and et cetera. We got to bring people.
Amen.
Because fish just don't jump in the boats.
Right.
people. This is why tomorrow we have the drama. You should bring somebody.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should bring people. You should bring as many people as you can.
Yes.
Because people just don't come. You got Jesus said, bring them.
Come on.
The master said, go bring them. This is why you shouldn't have a two-seater car. Come on, somebody. When you go shopping for a car, come on, somebody. Once you get your little income tax and once you pay your pledge, I hope you're still paying your pledge. Once you pay your pledge and you go buy a car, don't look for a two-seater. Look for a 15-passenger van. Look for a 12-passenger van. Look for a 7-passenger van. If you can't afford a 15-passenger, then get a 12-passenger. And if you can't afford a 12-passenger, get a 10-passenger. And if you can't afford a 10-passenger, get an 8-passenger. And if you can't afford an 8-passenger, get a 7-passenger. And if you can't afford a 7-passenger, then get a 5-passenger. Come on. I want to get a bike, Pastor. Well, at least you bring yourself to church. My God. At least put somebody on the back. Get you some pegs. Come on now. Remember the pegs? Bring people to church. And tomorrow at the altar, bring them to the altar. Bring people to the altar. A lot of people won't come to the altar, but God has called us to be His servants. And sometimes you just got to go and pull them. Sometimes you just got to go and bring them. Sometimes you just got to come with them. Because why? Jesus said, the master said, to bring the people to the banquet. Bring the people in. We must bring people to Christ. And every service, we should strive to bring somebody to church every Friday, every Sunday. We should strive not to come alone to service, but to bring people to the house of God. Verse 22, we see that this servant was a good leader. It says, "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." This servant was a good leader that was sharp. What made him good? Three things. He did what was told him to do. He did what was told him to do. The master said, bring people. He went and brought people. What made him good is that he was obedient.
Ooh, come on, somebody.
Come on, say that with me. Say obedient.
Obedient.
Come on, I know it's a hard word for you to say, but just say it with me. Say obedient.
Obedient.
Just say it one more time. Obedience.
Obedient.
He was an obedient servant.
Come on.
Huh? See, that's a word you don't hear in Christianity. That's a word you don't hear in church. That's a word you don't hear in preachings. That's a word that is like, to Christians. What do you mean I got to be obedient? I wasn't obedient to mama. I wasn't obedient to daddy. I wasn't obedient to the principal. I didn't obey the laws of the land. But listen, in God, you're going to mind God. You need to mind Jesus. You need to be obedient to the master. And guess what? You got to be obedient to the leadership. You got to learn how to be obedient, my friend. If you want to be a good leader, if you want to be a good leader, you first got to learn to be a good follower. If you want to be a commander, you first got to learn how to take commands. Ooh-wee, man.
Preach
it. He was a good leader because he did what was told. Listen, we can't be no ragtag army. An army that doesn't know how to be obedient and take orders is a ragtag army.
Mm, wow.
If the army can't take orders from the commander-in-chief, we will lose every war. We will crumble as a nation. But when an army is obedient, this is why men in the home, they teach you to be obedient. Women in the home, they teach you to be obedient. And we hope that you graduate and come into the church and stick it out so that your obedience can spread within the church. We need church members that are obedient, that learn to do what they're told. Secondly, what made this man such a good leader is that he assembled the team of servants to execute the master's plan. This was one servant, but it just wasn't him going to the streets. It wasn't just him. He assembled all the master's servants.
Amen.
He assembled all the master's servants to execute the master's plan. Listen, that's what we need in the house of God. We need some servants that know how to assemble the other servants in order to execute the plan of Jesus Christ that God has given us. God has given us a plan to reach the treasures out of darkness, to reach the inner cities of the world, and he needs servants. He needs servants of servants. In other words, leaders of leaders. Good leaders that know how to take orders and know how to be an echo of their leader, know how to be an echo of their master. They know how to be an echo of their pastor and say, let's get together and let this make plan. Let's make this plan work. Let's make it happen, Captain. Let's do what God has called us to do.
That's right.
And then thirdly, what made him effective is that he was accountable. He was accountable. He said, servant, the servant, he said, sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. He was accountable. He was accountable. Listen, what you told us to do, we've done. I'm letting you know we've done it.
That's good.
Huh? But then not only was he accountable, but he also gave an account. And the account that he gave was an honest account. Come on, somebody. It was an honest account. An honest account. He said, Master, we did what you told us. We did everything you told us. But can I be honest with you? There's still room.
Come on.
There's still room. In other words, we can still do more.
That's right.
In other words, we can still do more.
Right.
In other words, I'm not comfortable. In other words, I'm with you heart and soul.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm not tired. I know I could just kick back in Cadillac because at least we brought people in. But I'm here to give an honest account. And I'm here to tell you, there is still room. There is still room. We still got room to grow. We still got room to expand. And because of that, that's what made this servant a good leader. V-O-G-P, look around this room. There's still room. There's still room to bring in more people. There's still room in the home. There's still room in the women's home. What do you mean? All the bunks are filled, Pastor. Oh, but I see a spot on the floor. I see an empty couch. I see a corner where somebody can lay their head. There is still room. There is still room in the house of God. There is still room for more people. But we just can't sit back in Cadillac. We'll pick up, Pastor. There's people here on a Friday night. Oh, I still see empty chairs. I still see an empty space. There is still room. There's still room. There's still room in this building. And we can make more room in this building. We can make room for 300 souls in this building. We can knock down the ceiling. We can knock down the walls. We can put the restroom somewhere else. We can put the air conditioners on the roof. We can make this sanctuary fit 300 people. We can do it. There is still room. There is still room. I said there is still room.
Come on, Pastor.
But we need servants.
Right. Wow.
Willing to make this happen.
Amen.
We need workers.
Yes.
Willing to make this happen.
Come on.
We need givers.
Right.
Willing to make this happen.
Right. Yes.
Verse 23. The verse says, then the master told his servants, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full.
Yeah.
So that my house will be full.
Amen.
The master wants his house full.
Yeah.
And so should we. I said, and so should we.
Yeah.
If Jesus wants this house filled, then we should want this house filled. If he wants this house full, then we should want this house full. This is what he says. He says, go to the roads and the country lanes. Remember at first, he said, go to the streets and the alleys. Remember?
Yes.
See, those were more immediate. Those were more, the streets and the alleys were right outside the door. But now he tells them, go a little farther. Launch out a little deeper. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Isaiah 54 verse 2 and 3, isn't that what it says?
Yes.
Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, isn't that what it says? Yes. It says, enlarge the place of your tents. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. See, the first order was Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I don't know if we have it. Enlarge the place of your tents. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will. Next, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you my name. I will give you, another translation, the treasures out of darkness. The first, when he said go to the alleys and go to the streets, that first order was Isaiah 45 verse 2 and 3. I will give you the treasures out of darkness. I will give you the drug addict, the gang member, those living in a dark and isolated place. I'm going to give you those first that are in the streets of the inner city and the alleys of the inner city. That was the first order that was given in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. Reach the treasures out of darkness in the alleyways. But now, if we're going to fully pack out God's house, we must stretch our capacity. We must stretch our thinking and our ability and think and work outside of the box. For those in the suburbs and in the country, I will take it a little more. It's going to take a little bit more effort and a little bit more work, but it's worth it to have God's house filled with treasures out of darkness. It's worth it. The little extra work, the extra time of prayer, the extra time of fasting, the extra time of drama practice, the extra time of rallies, the extra time on the streets, it is worth it all to see God's house filled. God's house has been filling up with treasures out of darkness.
Yes.
But then he's also going to tell us to launch out into the deep and go beyond. Go beyond the inner cities. Go to the suburbs. Don't you know Grand Prairie's a suburb? In reality. Huh? Why? Because we've gone beyond. Huh? He says, go and compel them to come. Compel them. First, he said, bring them.
Speak on.
Now he said, compel them.
Yeah.
First, he said, bring them. Now he says, compel them.
Yeah.
See, compel in the Greek is this word right here. Put that picture up. I can't say it. Put the picture up. Not that picture. That's a bad picture. Sorry. I don't have the picture. Because I couldn't read it, but now I'm going to have to read it. Compel in the Greek is angangazo. Angangazo. See?
Angangazo.
Say that with me. Angangazo.
Angangazo.
Say it again. Angangazo.
Angangazo.
One more time. Angangazo.
Angangazo.
Now you know Greek. Give yourself a hand. This word, compel, is angangazo in the Greek. And it simply means to compel. But it also means to necessitate.
Yes.
To necessitate.
Yes.
To necessitate. In other words, when you tell people, you gotta say, look, it's necessary
come
for you
on,
to
man.
Come.
Come on, man.
It's necessary. No, not if you want to come, it's necessary. Yeah. Huh? And then it means also, it means this. It means to drive and to constrain by all means such as force.
Wow.
It also means threats. No, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell.
Wow.
Are you threatening me? Kind of, but it's the truth.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
It's the truth. Because people say, I preach all the time. I tell people all the time, man, you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell.
That's right.
Are you threatening? No, it's the truth, man. It's not a threat if it's the truth.
That's
I mean, it kind of is, but it's still the truth. It's the truth. Huh? It means also persuasion and entreaties.
Yeah.
There's another word, Greek word called biazo. Say it with biazo. This is another Greek word which is closely related to angangazo. That means to use force or to force one's way into a thing. Now, let me tell you this. This is a quality that is lacking in Christians today. We are forceful in a lot of things. We are forceful in about everything except God's work. We are forceful about our jobs.
Come on now.
Oh, I can't be late to work. I can't be late to work. They're gonna fire me. I can't be late to work. You're here. What do you mean here? I can't miss the interview. I can't miss the interview. Ah, my boss did. And my boss said, yeah, not. I gotta be there. We're forceful about our jobs. We're forceful about our significant others.
Oh.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Right? We're forceful. I can't miss my date. Come on, somebody. We're forceful about a lot of things. We're forceful about our wives and husbands. We're forceful about our family. We're forceful about a lot of things. We're forceful about our future. About our future. Kids, I gotta go to college. You finish the university. Nah, that's all great, my friend. I'm not saying not to be. But we're not like that for the things of God.
Oh, come on now.
And that's a shame.
Come on now.
Break it in.
Because that job ain't gonna last. That marriage ain't even gonna last.
Come on.
On earth, yeah, but not in heaven, because in heaven Jesus say no more marriage.
Yeah. Come on.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Right.
Jesus said in heaven there is no marriage. Huh? So not in the bad way, but in marriage, in heaven, we're gonna go our ways.
Right.
Huh?
Where?
But the thing that will last, we are not forceful about it.
Come on. Amen.
Right there.
Jesus Christ.
Huh? When it comes to the work of God, we want to act all weak. We want to act all weak. This is why I don't preach weak.
Come on, that's right, Pastor.
Oh, but you hurt my feelings.
All right.
I don't know if I want to come back. I'm going to go to the other church. Pastor, don't yell at us. Listen, to some of us, man, we got to be forceful in getting this word in you.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? The world is forceful. The world. Huh? I mean, they cram all kinds of stuff in us.
Right.
Huh? I mean, you know, look at all the beer commercials that come on. And all these beer commercials, they come on, they make it look so good. And they, you know, put on the beer, the glass looking so cold, and the water dripping down the side, and the foam coming out. And man, they're trying to cram that junk down our throat so that you can, you know, start to lick your lips and like, oh man, I need a cold one. And the thing about it is that beer kills people. It kills people. On the road, in their health. But yet they're forceful.
Wow.
And yet we have what gives life.
Come on.
And we want to be weak about it. They cram beer commercials down our throat. They cram unhealthy food in us. Every billboard, the golden arches. Come on, somebody. Jack in the Box and Whataburger and In-N-Out and food here and food there and on the commercial, and they're cramming it down our throats, and yet people are obese. Hello, somebody. Not us here, man. I was watching a show the other day, My 600-Pound Life. brother, he weighed almost 1,000 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
Huh? They cram unhealthy food. They're constantly cramming down us. They constantly cram murder and lust and pride in us with every movie and every show they put on. They're constantly cramming that stuff down our throat. They spend billions of dollars on advertising to force their agenda upon us.
Wow.
They are forceful because they are unashamed of their products. It's time for the church to be forceful and unashamed as well. We must compel. We must angangazo. We must angangazo. We must angangazo people to come to Christ, to come to church. We gotta use all force necessary, my friend, to bring people to the cross. This could be done by being radical for Jesus.
Right.
Being radical for Christ.
Amen.
Go next time you go to the movie, after the movie is over, or in the middle of the movie, or during the stinking previews, stand up and begin to preach.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You want to be radical?
Hey,
come on.
Well, I don't go to the movies, Pastor. I don't believe in the movie, The One ID Man. Well, praise God for you. Then just go to preach.
Come on, man.
Then just go to preach.
Yes.
Preach right before the previews. Then you can leave if you want. But it'll be the best $12 you ever spent. He said, Pastor, I want to preach. Let me preach on Sunday morning. Let me preach on a Friday night. Go first preach at the movie theater. Go first preach at a packed out movie theater. You'll have a bigger crowd than this. Hello, somebody. You'll have a bigger crowd than this. If you go and you preach, if you go right there, come on, somebody, and have your wife with the popcorn in the front row. Eat popcorn and drink a soda. And if you want some backup, pay for the men's home and pay. They'll go with you, and they'll say amen to you. They'll root you on. They'll say amen, preach it. But make sure you leave after the previews. Want to be radical?
Amen.
Huh? We gotta be radical. Preach on the corner. Find yourself a trash can and flip it upside down and go buy you a bullhorn and preach in the air and do some open air preaching. Get radical for Jesus. Share the gospel anywhere and everywhere. Use every means as possible to invite people to church on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever, but preach Christ Jesus, preach Christ crucified, invite people to church, bring people to God.
Amen.
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 Let me tell you something, it works.
Right,
I said it works. Because God's word doesn't come back void. One man plants, another man waters, but God brings the increase. The piano player can come up. Verse 24, it says, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Not one of those who were invited at the beginning that rejected the invitation, will get a taste of my banquet. Those that reject the invitation, that don't RSVP, will not taste the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. They will not experience heaven, only outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13:28. I don't know if it's up there. No, it's not up there. It's in the next chapter. Just look over. says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. Those who don't accept the invitation. Those who don't accept the invitation. What's going to happen is they're going to realize the mistake that they made by not accepting the invitation when Jesus comes back. And you know what's going to happen? When the sky splits open and they, every eye says, we'll see him coming in the clouds. You know what people are going to do? They're going to be running. They're going to be running to the door of the church.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
They're going to be knocking down the doors of the church, wow, trying to get in.
Come on.
Wow.
And they might get in, but it ain't going to mean nothing. Because we're going to be gone.
Right?
Because we're going to be gone.
Hallelujah.
He said, we're going to be gone.
Amen.
And the saying that Jesus said, they will not taste my banquet. They will not taste heaven. They will not taste my goodness.
Yes, it's true.
Because they rejected the invitation.
Wow.
And there's so many that reject, and they come and they reject, and they reject the invitation. They don't RSVP. They don't accept Jesus into their heart. They keep on playing with God. But even now and even today, the invitation is still here for you to accept it.
Amen. Amen.
Psalms 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We serve a good God. We serve a good God.
Yes, we do.
He's a good. He's been good to me.
Yeah.
He's been good to you.
Yeah.
But you gotta accept his invitation. Accept it before it's too late. Tomorrow's not promised for nobody. And we as his servants gotta continue to send forth that invite.
Amen.
We gotta continue to go to the streets. We gotta continue to go to the alleys.
Yeah.
And then we gotta go beyond into the country.
Yes.
We gotta go to the highways and the byways. Yes. And wherever there are souls, there is a need.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a rich neighborhood, they have a need there.
Yes, they do.
They need Jesus just like we need Jesus.
Yes.
The problem is they think they don't. Huh? But they got the same problems we do. They're depressed. Come on, somebody. They're suicidal. They're on drugs. They're on alcohol. Huh? Their marriage is on the verge of divorce. We got to compel them. We got to be forceful. Sometimes you got to tell people like it is. Be forceful. The problem is we don't like to tell people how it is. Man, you're messed up, dude. Your marriage is messed up. Look how you talk to your wife. I don't want to offend them, Pastor. Whoops. You want them to burn in hell?
Come on now.
You know, most people will respect you and admire you.
Yep.
And you tell them the truth. Amen. People will begin to listen. They'll begin to listen. But the problem with the church is we want to play patty cake with them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, well, we just got to love you. We got to love them. Yeah, we love them. Huh? But open rebuke is better than hidden love. Sometimes we got to show tough love. It's okay. Sometimes at the beginning, okay, love them. But sometimes when they don't respond to that, it's time to pull out. Don't hold no punches. Don't hold no punches.
Man.
You got to be forceful. That's why the Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. By force.
Yeah.
Huh? Jesus, when you study the life of Jesus, he was a forceful minister. He was a forceful preacher. Nothing was weak about Jesus. He forced his way through the crowd. He would rebuke his disciples and he would rebuke the Pharisees. He called Peter a devil and he called the Pharisees devils.
Yeah.
You whitewashed tombs. You look all white and clean on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones.
Wow.
Repent. Repent. Come to Jesus. Come to me. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. We gotta anger and die, God's old people. Compel people to come to Christ. Street team, go out tonight.
Amen.
Go with the street team.
Amen.
Go to the streets. The drama team has to stay back in practice. But the church needs to go to the streets. If you're not in the drama, you should go to the streets.
Amen.
Go to the streets. Sometimes we call rallies, it's only the faithful few, man. We need to come to the rallies.
Come on.
And this world, we're just passing by. We're just passing through. My God. This is going to run out. This is going to run out. Our life is but a vapor.
Right.
It's but a vapor. It's but a breath in the wind. Man, I was 20 years old just a while ago. Man, I'm going to turn 40. November, I turned 40. This life goes back like that. We need to tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
We need to take as many people to Christ, to Jesus, to heaven with us as we can.
Amen.
We'll rest when we get to heaven.
Amen.
We gotta forcefully advance the kingdom of God. We gotta push back the kingdom of darkness. We gotta take territory for the God's honor and God's glory.
Yes,
one soul at a time, one family at a time. It's not easy, my friend, but it is worth it all, my friend.
Yes.
You can win many people to the Lord.
Yes.
People need to come to know Christ.
Yes.
Stand to your feet tonight. We're called Victory Outreach.
Amen.
Not Victory Inreach. Victory Outreach. Let's invite people to the banquet. Let's invite people to the banquet. People, if people reject the invitation, it's okay. Just remember, they rejected the servants too. They reject. They make excuses. I know as a church we do, and people make excuses, and people make excuses. It's okay. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Listen. Sometimes you come to church, it's like, where is everybody? Guess what? The master showed up, he said the same thing. Where is everybody?
Wow.
Oh, something's wrong with the church. Nothing wrong with the church. Something's wrong with the people.
Amen.
It's people.
Yeah.
People get flaky.
Come on.
Right. They did it to the master, they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to us. But we can throw a pity party.
Amen.
Just do what the master did. Forget them. Go get more.
Amen.
Go get more. I said go get more.
Yeah.
Go get the down and outer. Go get the lame. Go get the cripple. Go get the blind. Go get them.
Amen.
Bring them in so that my house may be full.
Amen.
Bring them in so that my house may be full. Huh? But notice who was there. The servants were there.
Amen.
Huh? The servants were there.
Good.
And this servant will be here.
That's right.
That servant will be there. That servant will be there.
Right.
These servants will be here. And
Amen.
Any servants out in the crowd, you'll be here.
Amen.
And guess what?
Amen.
We just got to listen to the master.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to the streets.
That's right.
Go to the alleys.
Right.
Go.
Come on.
Go. You know, that last verse, it trips me out. Because why would Jesus put that on there? The last verse. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? Is that all who were invited at the beginning wanted to jump on the bandwagon.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why he said it. None of those who were invited will get to taste.
Amen, Pastor.
Oh, now you want to come? Now that you see a packed house? Oh, now you want...
Wow.
Hello.
Wow.
Talk about it.
Come on.
Huh? I'm not the master. Come on, somebody. I'm not Jesus.
Amen.
They still got time to come.
Yeah.
They still got time to come back, and we'll love them.
Yes.
Huh? But when Jesus comes back, he ain't playing now. He said, nah. They ain't going to taste it. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Huh? But we as servants, we must go so that his house may be full.
Amen.
So that his house may be full.
Jesus gets glory when his house is full. He wants a full. He wants no empty chairs. He wants no empty chairs. This is why leaders, you should hit the streets every day, man. Every day. What are you doing for evangelism? Every day. Every day. What are we doing for evangelism? Every day. Follow discipleship, evangelism. If we as leaders, servants, think like that, as servants, there will not be a day, there will not be a Friday or a Sunday that there's an empty seat. But it's just not the leaders. We're all his servants. We're all his servants. Right?
Yes.
Every day we gotta be inviting people, texting people, put it on Facebook, pass out flyers. That's why we make flyers. We don't make flyers just so that my picture can look all nice and cute on the flyer. We make flyers so that we can invite people.
That's right.
Yes. Give them an invitation to come to Christ. That's all we got to do is invite. One man plants, another man waters. God brings the increase. God will bring the increase. It's God. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Let's do the work of an evangelist. Close your eyes. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you honor, God. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, God. Lord, you're worthy, Jesus. Lord, this night, God, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is always right on time. And tonight I pray, Lord. I pray for those that may be out there, God, that have not accepted the invitation to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. But maybe tonight, God, is their night. Maybe tonight, God, they will respond to your invitation. And I don't want to leave this place without giving them that opportunity. You would not want me to dismiss this service without giving them the opportunity to accept you into their heart. And so tonight I pray that you would knock on the door of their heart, God. Begin to invite them. Begin to compel them to come. Even if they're backslidden, God, they've been running from you. Or maybe they've just never have decided to accept you, to accept the invitation. But tonight, God, the message has been clear to them. And they're ready, God. I pray that nothing would hold them back. I pray, God, that, Lord, they would take serious their salvation, their soul, where they will spend eternity. Let them know that hell is a real place. And you don't want that for them. You want them to be saved and to taste of your salvation. To taste the goodness of God. To taste heaven's riches. And I pray, Lord, that they would accept the saving power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're here and that's you, you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to accept that invitation to accept Jesus into my life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. If you raised your hand, I want you to come. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come to the altar. Come to the altar. I want you to come to the front. If you want to accept Jesus, you want to accept this invitation. Sometimes you got to bring them, church. You got to bring them. You got to come with them. Bring them to the altar. Bring people to Jesus. You brought somebody today. Sometimes you got to just bring them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins. And on the third day, he resurrected. He died just for you. He died so that your sins could be washed. And he loves you. And if you're ready to make him your Lord and Savior, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to repeat these words. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord.
My Lord.
Be my Savior.
I believe.
I believe.
You're the Son of God.
You're the Son of God.
And that you died on the cross.
You died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
And I believe.
I believe.
That you resurrected.
That you resurrected.
From the dead.
From the dead.
And that you are alive.
And that you are alive.
Now you live inside of me.
And you live inside of me.
In my heart.
In my heart.
In Jesus.
In Jesus.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
I want to be your servant.
I want to be your servant.
I surrender,
my life
to you.
To you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for forgiving me
of all my sins.
I give my life to you. I surrender to you.
I totally
surrender all
to you.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray for the church.
God, we give it up to you right now.
Tonight, if the word spoke to you, if the men of the word ministered to you, maybe you were challenged to be a better soul winner. Maybe you were challenged to reach more people for Christ. Maybe your passion for souls has been waning low. Tonight, I want to invite you to the altar, and I want you to come and say, God, give me a fresh passion. Give me a fresh fire. Give me a fresh burden for souls. To compel people, to bring people. Hallelujah. Come, say, God, I want to bring more people. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. You've been praying for somebody to get saved. Your family, your loved ones, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, a son, a daughter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.